We talk a lot about must wins. Tonight, the Kings, if they want to have any chance to finish out of the play-in and in the top six, they have to win tonight against the New Orleans team. They, of course, haven't beaten all year. Cal Draper, Kevin Gleason, Antonio Daniels with us. Somebody on the chat here, Antonio, says, oh, Curtis Hicks says, Antonio had one of the nastiest dunks ever in the playoffs against the Suns.
Remember that all? Phoenix?
I don't know. I do remember. I was on back in the day when they had the Slam Magazine Slam of the Month, almost like Jet Beauty of the Week.
Right.
Yeah,
43. Yeah,
yeah. I was in there on Rodney Rogers.
Ooh, okay.
And then the next time we actually played him, I tried it, and you can see my wrist is still messed up to this day.
Oh no!
But you hitting on the rim?
No, he laid me down.
Oh, he did.
He laid me out. Those days are long gone. That's why when we see flagrant ones and flagrant twos now, I'm like, come on, man. Look, that's not a flagrant one.
Wow.
But, yeah.
What do you make of the way the officiating has changed since the All-Star break? I mean, we had a game this week.
Listen.
The Bucks and the Celtics have two free throws.
Two free throws. Come on, man.
You like it? Or
here's my thing. I don't mind it. The NBA, and you both know this, the NBA sends out memos for everything.
Yeah.
Send the memo out.
Right.
Let the players know. You know what I mean? Let the players know, okay, we don't like the way things are going. Guys scoring 70, guys scoring 60. So what we're going to do after All-Star break, we are going to revisit the physicality of the game. Cool. Now as a player, I know I can adjust accordingly. But when it just happens on the fly like that, that is a very, very tough ask. Because in calling these games, what I'm seeing is everybody now is complaining because they feel like they're being fouled. And if you go back to prior to All-Star break, they are being fouled.
Yeah.
They are. So it's not just the fact that it's a jump shooting league now. Now it's such an inconsistency with the way that the physicality that they're allowing.
Yes.
It's from official to official.
Like, you know, there's too much of a gray area now on what is a foul and what isn't a foul.
There's too much of a gray area on everything.
Yeah.
Like, realistically speaking, there's a gray area.
Right.
Traveling, defensive 3 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
What's a flagrant one? What's continuation? What constitutes a flagrant? It's a gray area on a lot of different things right now.
Yeah, you're right. The great Antonio Daniels joining us here as we get you ready for Pelicans versus the Sacramento Kings. You guys without B.I. tonight, how have you fared without him? And, you know, what kind of impact is that?
For me, everything is situational.
Sorry to interrupt.
No.
Because he gives us fits.
Brandon
Ingram, we have nobody that can check him.
And here's the thing. Everything is situational, you know, in this league. You know, you can – look at the stat sheet. This is why watching the games is actually so much more important than watching highlights and looking at the stat sheet. Because you can look at a game and have 9 turnovers and be like, oh, my gosh, they did a great job of taking care of the basketball. If 8 of those 9 turnovers come in the fourth quarter, everything is situational, right? So Brandon Ingram goes down at a time when the Pelicans started their most difficult homestand of the season. That's the difficulty. So it wasn't the fact that he went down. It's when he went down. It's all situational. So when he went down, you played Oklahoma City, Milwaukee, Boston, Phoenix, Orlando, San Antonio, all at home.
So when he comes back, which I think it may be against the Lakers, he may be coming back soon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Will the team be better for the way they had to deal with his absence once he's back?
I mean, but the thing is, this has happened before. Like, this team has been there before. Not as much this year. Remember, last year only played 44 games.
Right.
So, last year, Zion only played 29 games. So, this team is accustomed to different guys stepping up. Trey Murphy almost started as many games last year as Brandon Ingram did. Mm-hmm. So, it's not like you're putting him in a position that he's not comfortable in.
Yeah, not familiar.
Because Zion's been down and B.I.'s been down before.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Zion, is he getting enough love this season? Like, you see him night in and night out. Well, tell me about
Point
this
Zion,
year.
Right?
Listen, I said on our Phoenix broadcast the other day, if you see him, you won't get a true appreciation of Zion until you see him play in person.
Really?
You won't until you see him play in person. And you guys can speak to this. You guys can attest to this. There are certain guys throughout the course of history, to me, guys that I played it with, or against, the TV will never give them the justice that they deserve. You can sit here right now and say, oh, yeah, I know Shaquille O'Neal's big. I know he's dominant.
Right.
Until you play against him.
Yeah.
Until you see how strong he is.
Right.
Uh-huh. I mean, you know what?
Domas with the strength of Domantas Sabonis. Right.
I know LeBron James is big.
Right.
But when you see that size move like that,
right.
I know Allen Iverson's quick.
Right.
Yeah. Until you try and check him in space.
Damn.
You know what I mean? So there are certain guys that TV doesn't give them justice. Zion is one of those guys for me. Like, I hear people say all the time, all you have to do is fill in the blank.
Right.
And guard
cut
him.
Off the left.
Yeah.
Force him right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the same thing they said about Manu Ginobili. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Mm.
That's the same thing they used to say about Avery Johnson. His jersey's retired in San Antonio. You know what I mean? So it's – can you think of a guy – and this is a question I pose to both of you guys. Can you think of a guy throughout the history of the sport that is 6'4", 6'5", 6'5", 6'6", we'll say, with that size, that explosiveness, with that touch around the rim, and is left-handed like that?
Right. No.
Me neither.
He's one of one.
Right.
Right.
And there are certain guys that you have to take a bit of, well, take this guy's body, a Rodney Rogers type
right.
body. Take a Vince Carter type explosiveness.
Yeah.
You know, take
Barkley
a Kyrie Irving
yeah.
type of. I feel like Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry, and Zion Williamson are the three best tough layup makers in today's NBA.
You know include Zion in that mix.
Listen, because everything with him goes viral because of his dunks.
Yeah.
Right. When
Kyle watched some of the English and some of the touch that he has to use around the rim to finish over guys that are longer than he is.
When he was at Duke and we were all watching, trying to figure out what he was like, the closest I could come, and it's very inexact, was like a Sean Kemp with more, you know, guard skills. I don't know. That was a close
see,
driver.
But the
came.
Thing is, also, Sean Kemp was like 6'10".
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. He's much bigger. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and that's the part. And that's what I mean, though, because you have to take a little bit of this guy.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like God is just sitting up there in heaven. He's like, you know what, young man? You don't know it yet, but I'm going to give you just a little bit more than I'm giving everybody else.
But is he bought into what you guys are doing? Because he said himself earlier this year or last year, he said, well, I'm
that was at
trying.
The beginning of this year.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Year,
he said,
yeah,
I'm trying. Is it working?
It's definitely working. Because now it's at that time, it's almost like you're trying to figure some things out with him, with CJ, and with B.I. Because remember, they haven't played a whole lot together.
Right.
Since CJ's gotten there, all three of those guys starting together prior to this season hasn't happened very often. So now you're trying to figure out a pecking order. Right. If you think of successful big threes in the past, they don't work without a pecking order. You
right.
think about the Miami Heat. They didn't start winning. They didn't win back to back until Dwayne Wade said, you know what? I am willing to be.
Yeah.
I am willing to be Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chris Bosh said, you know what, LeBron, you be Batman. Dwayne Wade, you be Robin. And Chris Bosh said, I'll be Alfred.
Alfred. Yeah.
Right. They didn't win. They didn't win until they chose to
right.
go down that road.
Right.
So I think in the beginning, it was more along the lines of them trying to figure some things out and Zion trying to buy into the figure out.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Antonio Daniels, before we let you go, man, obviously big game tonight. Kings got to win out. We're rooting for you guys to lose out, just calling
for sure.
it like it is.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You know, how difficult is this final push for you guys? All on the road
no.
for you guys? Are you
no,
guys?
But you also got to understand this is a better road team than they are at home.
Yeah.
Really?
Which
yeah,
is wild.
Yeah. Yeah,
you guys are second.
Because this is a young team.
Mm.
Right? And that's very rare for a young basketball team. Usually young basketball teams are much better at home and they struggle on the road. Right now, this team has set a franchise record for road wins.
Mm.
So you got tonight versus the Pelicans. You have tomorrow
Warriors.
Versus Golden State. And then you have Sunday
at
versus
home.
The Lakers.
Again. Okay.
At the Smoothie King.
Yeah, at the Smoothie King Center.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If you win these two, you wonder what the Lakers would do. Depending on what else happens, because they may be locked into the 10th spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Can I ask you, as you talked about some of the players you've seen, played against, played with, how unique their talents are.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned you're a De'Aaron Fox fan. How about his speed? Is that one of the things that people will talk about in the future of, boy, you know who's one of the fastest, absolute fastest was De'Aaron Fox?
But, you know, the thing about De'Aaron Fox that I love, there are certain players in this league, and this is why this is such a blessing of a job, because I feel like the best part outside of the relationships you develop is watching guys progress. There are certain players where you say, man, if this dude had a jump shot, he would be. Like, think about how often do you hear that about Giannis?
Yep.
If he developed a 15-footer, he would be. And you know what De'Aaron Fox said? Whatever that fill in the blank is, that's what I'm going to add to my game.
Go
and that's what he's
that.
Done.
Yeah.
That's what he's done. And you see it on a night-to-night basis now, and you're seeing a completely different De'Aaron Fox now than we've seen in years past. He's been great in years past, but now I feel like he's gone from being great to being elite. And I think what made him elite is his willingness, the time, the energy, and the effort that he put into that three-point shot. Because now you have to guard him at all three levels. Before, pick and rolls, because of his speed, that you, let me go under and meet him on the other side.
Right, let me
dare him to shoot. Now you can't dare him to shoot anymore. And when you have a guy that has that type of jump shot, that type of in-between game with floaters and step backs and can get all the way to the rim and finish around the rim, you got a problem on your hands defensively.
Is he at the top of your whiteboard here defensively? Because you guys have
yes.
done a great
no
job.
No question about
him.
No. Like, for me, he's first.
Yeah.
First.
He's
yeah.
first. No disrespect to Domas Sabonis, but De'Aaron Fox, to me, is the head of the snake. De'Aaron Fox, to me, is the engine for this team. If he's going and he's pushing the pace and he's making things happen, he's collapsing your defense and kicking out to Keegan Murray and kicking out to Harrison Barnes for threes, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You are in trouble.
Let me ask you this, AD. We started off our show, and this is the thing that bothers me about sports takes right now. And I'm gonna go here, Whitey. I'm gonna go here, Kings fans. I feel like too often we wake up the next morning, look at the box score, and say this guy needs to be better or that guy needs to be better. Harrison Barnes is being, you know, brought up now. We started our show, and I went off.
I'm like, him as a symbol of everything that's gone wrong.
But and I'm like, we got more issues than Harrison Barnes. Domas has to be better. 7 shots against OKC, 8 points. He has to be better. Keegan Murray has to be better. What do you make of Harrison Barnes, I guess, and what he gives this team and what he
here's the thing.
This team?
First thing, Kyle, I'll tell you is there's no difference between the Kings fan base that you're talking to and the other 29.
All right, okay.
There's no difference.
You guys got that too?
Everybody has it. Everybody. If it's not a player, it's the coach.
Yeah.
It's his rotations. Man, he needs to play this guy more. He needs to play that guy more.
Like,
and realistically, what you see is if a team plays well, you praise the players, and the team starts to struggle, you criticize the coach. Then once you're done criticizing the coach, now you got to go down the list.
Now you go.
Right. And for me, that's why it's so important to actually watch the games. But this is we are in a numbers and stat-driven culture.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you're not watching the games and you're simply look at stats, field goal percentage, effective field goal percentage, advanced numbers, and all this other kind of stuff, a lot of times there are certain guys. Like, there's a difference between being pessimistic and objective. There's a difference in the two. Like what you just said was 100% spot on. Like, this guy needs to be better. This guy needs to be better. This guy needs to be better. You know what you didn't say? They need to get rid of this guy. They need to get rid of this, you know? And for me, Harrison Barnes, he does need to be better for this team.
Right.
For the ultimate goal.
Yes.
For the ultimate goal. And there's nothing wrong with saying that whatsoever. But he also does a lot of things behind the scenes and even in between these four lines that won't show up on the stat sheet.
Yeah.
Like, experience. You can't – how many guys on this roster have a championship ring?
Just him. No, JaVale McGee also. Him and JaVale.
Yeah. And that's priceless.
Yeah.
That's priceless. When you have guys that have been there before,
luckily, the coach does too, but I know that wasn't –
But
player-wise. The thing is, the coach ain't shooting – the coach ain't, you know, he ain't getting the team into offense. All he can do is make calls. That's it. I mean, I've always liked Harrison Barnes. The thing is, as he gets older, a lot of people will base how he's playing simply on whether or not he's shooting the ball well or not. That's it. So if he's shooting the ball well, he's playing great. If he's not shooting the ball well, he's playing poor.
Right.
Do you have time for one more?
One more what?
Question?
Yeah, I got time for whatever.
Yeah, hang on.
All right. Okay. I know that the Pelicans have had a lot of success going small. I think in the last game, their last win, they did. But is that something they'd even need to do tonight against the Kings, considering how they've out-rebounded them this year?
Well, the thing of going small is not simply about rebounding. It's about playing to something your team is really good at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you look at the versatility that this team has, the Pelicans, they check a lot of boxes, right? I feel like teams that can win both ways, where I don't know how many games this year that Jonas Valanciunas has won for this team with just his physicality. He brings a automatic double team. But then there are certain games, like the game the other day against Phoenix, where he played 3 minutes and 55 seconds. You know,
really?
he had a senior day start.
Oh. Man.
So, like, even before the first whistle right. happened, he was out the game.
And he's okay with that? He's good with that? That works for him?
No, the thing is, but that's how it's been for him for the last, probably since All-Star break. Mm-hmm. I don't
really?
Know how many times in the second half where he hasn't started the second half. They'll start Larry in the second half. But think about putting Zion at the five. Because now what you're doing is now it's not about you guys, it's about compromising the other team's defense. Mm. So now you're asking Domas Sabonis to match up with Zion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it flips the script. So what they did the other day versus the Phoenix Suns, they put Zion at five.
Wow.
And Yusef Nurkic, because what teams are doing, everybody's doing the same thing. They're spying on Zion like a linebacker spies on Lamar Jackson. Right? They're whoever's guarding the guy that they want to leave open, they're meeting him at the rim.
Right.
So you know what they say? We're going to put that guy in the action. So they're putting Zion out there with Herb Jones, 40% three-point shooter. Trey Murphy, excellent shooter. Yep. You know what I mean? C.J. McCollum, excellent shooter. So they're surrounding Zion with shooting. So now if you're surrounding him with shooting, now what you can't do is spy on him. You're forcing an opposing big to guard Zion.
Right. Interesting. I want to switch gears real quick, ADs. We had this conversation after you and Rick Kamla did about the best – skilled backcourt of all time, Kyrie and Luka. Where did you guys settle on that argument, that debate?
Yes. That's where we settled.
Okay.
Because here's the question that I have with that. Sometimes it's okay, and we talked about this yesterday on the show, it's okay to say yes.
Yeah.
Period. Right.
It's okay.
Period.
No. Instead of looking for
right. Without a but.
Right.
If somebody said Steph Curry's the greatest shooter of all time, you know what I'm gonna say? Yes. Period. Ain't no comma.
Well,
ain't
I remember
no but.
When Mark Jackson said that in 2011.
He said
Clay, and a lot of us were like, "Hey!" And then you had to think about it because that was a long time ago. It's like he was right then.
Right.
It was correct.
So, and it's, we don't like the. We live in a culture now where people don't want. In today's NBA, for somebody to be the greatest of anything of all time, no matter what you're talking about, you can say the great. I do a weekly spot, national spot on ESPN, and I was going back and forth with one of their hosts about Steph Curry being the greatest shooter of all time. To me, I don't think that's debatable.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
I don't think that's debatable. And his whole thing was, oh, my gosh, it's definitely debatable. I wouldn't even have him as my top shooter.
What?
Nothing good comes after but. I have realized that. So when somebody says, yeah, I hear you, but, okay, we can stop the conversation.
Right. You know what happens, AD. People say, somebody says something, first thing people do is look for some numbers that totally discounts or, goes against what they're saying.
This goes back to what we were referencing about Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
We live in such a numbers-driven NBA right now. And it's not enough of the eye test for me. And if you can go and you can think of a backcourt that is as skilled as those two guys across the board, I'll listen.
The only one I could think of, and this is before all our times, and I'm not saying, they were better, but the only one I could think of would be Earl Monroe and Walt Frazier.
Okay, and that's what somebody said.
Really?
Somebody actually called in and said Earl Monroe and Walt Frazier. And here's the thing. I never saw those guys play like that, but when you think of and you take all things into consideration, the – ultimate equalizer, or should I say what separates, is that three-point line.
Yes.
Right.
You know, that three-point line is it's a – listen.
It's an unknown for the older guys. We don't know.
Right.
It may be, but they didn't do it. They didn't have that.
Like Pete Maravich. Somebody said Pete Maravich and I forgot who his backcourt mate was. It's Pete Maravich and somebody
else. New Hudson, maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Pete Maravich and New Hudson. And here's the thing. I never saw Sweet Lou Hudson play. I saw highlights of Pete Maravich without a three-point line.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that kind of – and for me, I will say this, though. I am not a fan. If you listen to our SiriusXM show, I am not a fan of comparing and contrasting generations. I'm not a fan
of that. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, because when everybody always says, who's your GOAT? I think Kareem was his GOAT for his era, Jordan was the GOAT for his era, and LeBron is the GOAT for this era. I don't think there's any way whatsoever to come up with one legitimate GOAT because it's too many variables.
I like that.
It's too many variables. You know, the defenses were different. You know, the game was played different. The game was slower. The game was faster. Illegal defense was completely, it's too much. It's too much to come up with a clear-cut answer.
Right.
What would you say is the most important thing for the Kings to do tonight? We said they got to make shots. I know some of this is cliche. They got to make shots. They got to diversify the offense because they've been struggling when the three-point shots not falling, and they got to rebound. From the perspective of someone who knows the Pelicans as well as anybody, what do you think is the most important thing for the Kings to do?
Okay. When it's a team that you're struggling against and you have struggled with in the past, I think the start of the game is so incredibly important.
Yeah.
I think the first quarter is so incredibly important. The thing about this team, if they don't shoot the three well, they're going to struggle because that's their identity.
That's who we're
like. That's unavoidable. If your identity is fill in the blank and you struggle at filling in the blank, it's especially with two of their key guys being out and Herter and also Malik Monk.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, when you feel like a team has gotten the best of you, I feel like the first quarter you have to come out and punch first. Like it's deflating when a team has completely owned you and they come out and they punch you in the face off the jump. Next thing you know, you down 15 points in the first, chasing the game.
You got two TV guys tonight with nothing to do, right, but enjoy the game.
I know, we get to chill tonight, right?
Oh, yeah, I told you, all I got to do tonight is go get my little boy his De'Aaron Fox jersey. That's all.
I'm actually okay with not doing this one tonight. Are you? You missing this one?
I am. I'm missing it.
Are you really?
I am. I'm missing it. Like, big games like this,
yeah,
I'm not going
to lie. Yeah, I feel you.
Man, if you want to sit me out of game, sit me out the Portland game that we just did.
Right. Yeah, that's the game. Yeah.
Sit me out the Portland game.
I feel
when you got
you
a game
that.
Of all this right, magnitude right here,
you
I'll take
this. You want to be in the thick of things. No, yes. I'm with you.
Thank you very, very much.
All right, for sure. Always. I appreciate you guys.
Glad you – what time did y'all get in yesterday? Get some good dinner last night?
No, we got in the day before.
Oh, so y'all been here that
long? Yeah, so we came in, we played Portland, what day was that? What is today?
Tuesday?
Thursday? We played Portland on Tuesday, so we got in Tuesday night.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right, my guys.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. We're right back here.
Over-under for HB tonight? Nah, I'm just kidding.
17 and a half. My guy is going to deliver. He's going to step up.
So what are you taking, over?
Over.
Yeah. Stick around. Game night is next. We get you ready for the Kings and the Pels on Sacktown Sports.